for WSIU in Focus, I'm Kevin Boucher. A team of researchers, led by SIU Assistant Professor Dr. Scott Hamilton Bream, has discovered a new form of life deep beneath the Nevada desert. Now, this discovery was not an overnight thing. The story begins in the summer of 2014 before Dr. Bream came here to SIU.
I was working with an undergrad in the Desert Research Institute, which is a soft money institute working closely with the University of Las Vegas.
And his boss at the time, Dr. Dwayne Moser, had been involved in working on a grant-funded project studying deep subsurface microbes.
So he went out in 2011 to different sites to collect these samples. So one of them was the Bilby site, or the borehole itself is called U3CN number 5.
Which is not very descriptive, but what is interesting about this borehole where this new life was found is that it's located in an area also known as the Nevada Test Site, a place where the United States conducted hundreds of nuclear tests between 1951 and 1992.
At this site, they collected water samples, brought them back to the lab, and then stored them. And I came later on, a year or two later, and then my kind of job was to culture microbes, try to figure, can we bring them into being under control in the lab so we can study them further? And so this particular organism, we give it the strain name DRI-13, started growing, and we grew this organism initially on peptides, and then later on found out it had actually a penchant for fumarate.
Okay. Now, for those of us non-scientists, what type of food are peptides and fumarate?
Peptides is basically just protein. So, when you have beef or chicken or something like that, you're assimilating protein into your diet. Okay. So in this case, I'm not giving them beef or chicken. It's just, the raw peptides themselves kind of chopped up, and we fed it to it.
In microscopic form.
Right, right. I mean, it grew, but I wouldn't say it grew happily on it. It was basically something I kind of like gave it green vegetables, and I'm like, okay, fine, I'll eat it, but I don't like it. But as we characterize, go through the process of characterization, finding out optimally what does it like, and I later found out it wants this other compound called fumarate, which is actually a very common molecule found in metabolism. We actually have it in our own metabolism. So once we found that, I was like, once we had its number, then it's like, that's what we went with. He's like, okay, that's what you want to eat, we'll feed that to you.
Like every other form of life here on Earth, this new species has a unique scientific name. It's called Thermo Anerospectrum fracticalcus.
The name, as you mentioned, is Thermo Anerospectrum fracticalcus. So this is Greek and Latin. Usually when we name organisms, they try to dissuade you from using, say, people's names or places and all that, because these microbes are found everywhere. So a place really has no meaning in it. And as far as naming after a person, that person has to be very famous. And I'm not famous, so I'm not going to name after myself. But if we break down the genes, what we call the genus and species, so the genus is the first name, Thermo Anerospectrum, basically means thermo, heat, anero means anaerobic. Septrum is kind of a description of itself. This organism for bacterium is kind of long, so septum means staff or scepter. So I kind of thought that's fitting for this particular organism. Fracticalcus is the species name, and so this is in Latin, and fracta meaning fractured or cracked, and calcus is meant to be a rock or a carbonaceous rock. So fractured carbonaceous rock. So a description of where it was found. It was found in the fractured carbonates within the subsurface of the Nevada test site.
And remember, this Nevada test site was where the U.S. government conducted hundreds of nuclear tests over the course of four decades, which begs the question, did you carry a meter that measures radioactivity? Was there any radioactivity involved?
Well, like I said, I was not there for this particular site, but I've been to other sites. And the thing is that the U.S. government and the military monitor and maintain these areas. And you have to go through a little training. You have to go through certification, HAZWOPers, some of the training you have to go through.
Sure.
And basically, this is some of the most pristine desert you can find on the whole planet. It's more detrimental to have a human settlement, like a city, onto the environment than over 800 atomic bombs being detonated in one area. So you might have to check for radioactivity, but there wasn't any.
That's Dr. Scott Hamilton Bream of the SIU Microbiology Department talking about the new form of life his team has found. And I'll continue this conversation tomorrow, where we'll ask some more questions like, what and how does it eat? How long has its ancestors been around? And what is the next step? What does the future hold as we study this new form of life? For WSIU In Focus, I'm Kevin Boucher. On a recent edition of WSIU In Focus, we learned about a new form of life, which was discovered several years ago, living a half mile underground in a borehole at a former nuclear test site in the Nevada desert. SIU microbiology professor Dr. Scott Hamilton Bream led the team that discovered this new, very small bacteria. How small? Think microns.
And for us non-scientists, how small is a micron?
Yeah, so like the human hair is about 100 microns wide. So you think, and a micron is a meter chopped up a million times. So
I'm in Dr. Bream's lab at SIU Carbondale, where he has just put a drop of water on a microscope slide containing the new microbe with the name DRI-13. And while he's busy making adjustments, looking through the conventional microscope eyepiece, I'm right beside him, but I'm looking at it on a beautiful, high-def, 35-inch LCD screen.
So basically, you are looking at your culture to see if you have any new bacteria babies.
Right.
In a way.
Yep.
You just put two drops of water on that little glass slide, and it looks just as pure as anything.
Yep. Only under the microscope can you actually see the detail. So we're gonna go to, see, this is a 40x, so 400x, so 400 times magnification. And so
I see a bunch of little hair-like thin things floating around.
And that's DRI-13. They're at various stages of their life cycle, some of them longer than others. This organism also does another thing that a lot of them do is what's called form spores. So if times get tough, what they'll do is they'll literally package their DNA and all essential things for life, put it into a little capsule, and then they'll shed the rest of their body, and they'll just sit there and wait, and they'll leave like little sensors on the outside, and like when conditions are better, they will hatch out of this capsule to resume their growth again.
Fumarate, did I pronounce that right?
Yes.
That's what this bacteria eats. What type of food is that which is found half a mile underground?
Well, that's part of the mystery. We, technically speaking, fumarate is very common. Like I mentioned, we have it in our own bodies and all that. So that part is not the hard part. But yeah, when you apply it to the subsurface, there's not much down there. So maybe they literally just wait until one of those molecules falls next to it, then they pick it up and bring it in immediately, and they don't have to pay money for that, if you will.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so that might be a clue as to what life is like down there. You have to be opportunistic. You have to sit there and wait for that moment, then you pick it up immediately and bring it in.
Also in the lab is Trevor, one of Dr. Bream's grad students. Trevor is involved in studying this new microbe, and he believes this experience at SIU will help him in the study of two major viruses that affect humans today.
So I really enjoy RNA viruses. I think I want to study some of the secondary structures that form on the genomes of HIV and influenza, and how that sort of goes into like the pathogenesis and how they function inside their host cells. And I think with this sort of technology that I'm using here, it has some of the potential to give us a little bit of insight into that.
The discovery of this new bacteria deep in rock here on Earth is also fascinating to other scientists. Here is famed astronomer Dr. David Levy.
Dr. Hamilton Bram has done an amazing job, and there's actually a team that has developed that and has found something that actually is just delightfully happy at a Fahrenheit temperature of 150 degrees. And I'm sure my wife and I would say we do not want to live ever at 150 degrees.
And what are the larger implications of this discovery?
I'm glad you asked that. And I think the reason is that it actually could point the way and give more evidence that if life can exist at the bottom of a nuclear bomb crater at 150 degrees and thrive there, or if life can exist at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean and under these dreadful conditions that we would never actually want to be in, why could it not exist on Mars? And I think the big thing about this discovery is that NASA people will be all over it to try to see maybe we should look for this life form or something similar to it on Mars.
And for Scott Hamilton Bream, what was it like when you first noticed this was a brand new form of life?
It's hard to explain. It's like, you know, for that brief moment when you're talking to your boss or even my students working here and all that, I have to try to remind people that for this moment, you're the only person on this whole planet that knows about this microbe, that understands it in a way that no other person has, and that our job now is to share it with everyone else as truthfully and as honestly as possible and follow the data. And I don't know, it's quite humbling.
For WSIU in Focus, I'm Kevin Boucher.